First, I want to wish everybody a good Moed and Yeshkar to Chavayrim and to all the Chavayrim for making the arrangements that are necessary. I know that the rain was going to hold out and the clouds that are over us are certainly Anani HaKovid, the Schus of the Ushpiz and Aaron HaKoyin, that we should be able to get together and talk a little bit about the Nyanei D'Yoma, Yom of Sukkot, and to sing a little bit. I also want to give a shkoyach to the sponsor who prefers his name not to be mentioned, but wants the evening to be a schus for a full shlema, Karolei Basfaiga. To thank Ari, and Ari's an exceptionally talented musician, and it's already so many times he's been Mahanas with his music. And Avi, he works so hard in the shul, so he deserves a little chance to enjoy. This is even his enjoying, even enjoying is working. But we give Yashikarach to Avi. And I want to say a few words. We'll cover the Ushpiz and the emesis that. You see that by Aaron HaKoyin, the mid of Aaron HaKoyin is the Ra'ach of the Samach Belibai. That Aaron HaKoyin knew what it meant to rejoice in the heart. Chazal point out that for whatever reason, that joy was not able to be shown completely on the outside at that time. But the Ra'ach of the Samach Belibai, but the joy inside was immeasurable. So, this particular Yontav, because I was a little bit sick, so I have to try to be mekayim that way of the Ushpizen of Veracha v'samach b'libay. That it's hard for me. It's the first time, and this usually happens to me. Parshas Noach. It's already the fourth time, but it's always Parshas Noach. My future son-in-law said that it's not a question because it's a leap year. It's new year, so I got it. Came at the same time, I guess, but it's hard for me. It's hard for me to see all Klal Yisrael dancing and rejoicing, and that I have to sit on the side and watch. But that's the meaning of Ra'acha v'samach b'libo, when the heart is bursting with simcha, with joy, but the person is not able to physically participate. So the meaning of Aaron HaKoyin, of the Ushpiz, and of Ra'acha v'samach b'libo is that, as we spoke about many times, that he's taught us that a Jew has to know how to dance even without moving, and to sing without making a sound, and to stand up tall even when he's bent over. This is the Inyan of a Yid in this world. So I want to speak for a few minutes. The emphasis is that because I really can't dance, so I have a few hours to talk, but I understand it's a weeknight, and I promised my wife that no later than 9:45, which I understood she gave me the 15 minutes, really. She just told me 9:45. So I want to say a few things. There should be time to do a couple of rikudim. It always bothered me why the Mishnah says such a lashon of Misha Loi Ra Simcha's basis she'eva Loi Ra Simcha Miyama. That Chazal worded it in the negative, Misha Loi Ra Simcha's basis she'eva Loi Ra Simcha Miyama. Whoever didn't see the Simcha of the basis she'eva never saw a true joy. And why couldn't Chazal say it in the positive way? That that the joy of the rejoicing of the Beis HaShoeva that took place in the Beis HaMikdash was the greatest in the world. Whoever hadn't seen, didn't see, never saw true joy, the greatest joy in the world, which is Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And why is it Taka? Why is it that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva then and even now is the greatest Simcha? Sof kol sof, the Simcha, even though there's a difference between Rambam and Rashi, but the Simcha was Menisach HaMayim the pouring of the water by the Mizbeach, Ushaf the Mayim B'Sosan, preparing the water and all the, that was necessary to leading up to the Nisach HaMayim. What's the Gevaldige Simcha? Misha Loi Ra'as Simcha's Beisa She'eva Loi Ra'as Simcha M'yamav. In a person's life, there are all different types of matzavim. They're all things that a person has to go through until that person is able to come to his final tikkun, on the chayis chefzo, to the final destination which the Baruch Shalom has designated for that individual. And therefore in life, there is mane godless. There are times in life where a person feels an unbelievable closeness to Hashem. Bechlal, he's able to feel close to his loved ones. His moyach, his lev, his mind and his heart are completely open. And those are days of godless, of greatness. And then there are many times in life, whenever it happens, it seems like it's all of life. There are times of katness, of smallness, and chashkus, and darkness, when the Baruch Shalom is completely or mostly hidden from a person. And it's hard for the person to say one word of davening v'kavana. It's hard for the person to barely hold on, not to be, God forbid, over aveiros, because of the darkness that's in his life, in his heart, in his mind. We all know about this. And the Sfar Makadeshim tell us that the avoida of a person during those times of chashkus, of difficulty, of darkness, is number one, to try to remember, to focus on the Zmani HaGadlus, because the emes is there are many, many times of godless. And mostly it's good, Bo Hashem. But to try to remember the Zmani HaGadlus, and to focus on the good times, to focus and remember those good times, and to believe that even this difficult time that I'm going through right now, that the Baruch Shalom is mamish every step along the way, that the Baruch Shalom is mamish walking with me and holding my hand, and that this difficulty that I'm living through is also an absolute necessary tkufa period of my life that can bring, that must, I must experience in order to bring me to Mechais Chafsi, to my destination. And therefore, when it comes to Sukkos, which is Zman Simchaseinu, and then the Ushpizn of Aaron HaKohen, the Ushpizn of Aaron HaKohen means the inyan of the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of Hashem's glory that went with us every step along the way through those difficult years in the Midbar, from one Masa to another Masa, from one each journey. Along the way, as is described in Torah, the emptiness and the darkness that we experienced in the Midbar Bechlal, and one from one place to the next, not knowing what was going to be, until finally we would come to Eretz Yisrael, to our destination. And that's the Ikkar Simcha of a Jew in this world, Zman Simchaseinu, the Yishpizn of Aaron HaKohen, because the Ikkar Simcha, the main Simcha of a Jew, is that belief that every single step along the way, all of those persons, Masois, which he spoke of many times, it says in the Sfarim, in the Kisvari, in the Zohar Kodesh, in Tanya, Sfasemis, and Pritzadik, all the Sfarim tell us that the journeys of the Jewish people throughout the Midbar, the journeys of each and every Jew, to get to his own personal Eretz Yisrael. But the Anani HaKovid, that were in the Schus of Aaron HaKohen, just like Aaron HaKohen never ever left the Jew crying. Aaron HaKohen could never leave a Jew crying. Aaron HaKohen could never leave a Jew feeling left, feeling alone, feeling abandoned. So too, the Anani HaKovid that were with us in the Midbar, in the Schus of Aaron HaKohen, is the Simcha that each and every one of us is able to experience at the time of Sukkot, which is Zman Simchaseinu, that a person can go through anything. And if you ask Jews that went through not what we consider to be tzaras, but Jews who went through tzaras that our minds couldn't possibly fathom, and we couldn't believe that we'd be able in any way to endure, those Jews who were able to believe that they had Anani HaKavod traveling with them throughout their Midbar, that they had the Ananim of Aaron HaKohen, that they were held by Hashem's Baruch throughout their journey, And at every step along the way, even though there was unbelievable pain and there was unbelievable darkness, but not to be misspoiled from the Choshech, not to be misspoiled from a difficult time from Yerida, because the person knows that I have to go through this. This is not an accident, this is not a mistake. This is not something, a very common word that I hear all the time being used now is weird, everything is weird. It's not something which is weird. This is exactly what the Baruch Shalom wants from me and of me, and exactly what I must go through in order to become who I need to become, to reach my Eretz Yisrael. And this is the most gewaldige simcha that a Jew could have. The most gewaldige simcha that a Jew could have from Sukkot for the entire year is to be kayiveya benafshai, to fix mamish in the depths of his heart, to establish in the depths of his heart that in yavrelov afilom yavrelov ma, that no matter what he goes through, whether it has to do with parnasa, whether it has to do with health, whether it has to do with shidduchim, whether it has to do with one's own mechsholus, failures in avodas Hashem and efforts to try to become better, failing again and so on and so forth, personal disappointments with relationships, v'chulu v'chulu, that a person can take from Zman Simcha Seinu his chaskis to know that the Anani HaKovid haven't left him, that the Anani HaKovid are with him mamish every single step along the way. B'chol Ma'asav, all of his journeys, and that's why the Simchas Beis HaShoeva would begin Rav Yushpizna Yitzchak Avinu, the second night of Sukkis, Matzil El Sheini, Matzil Antirisha, the beginning of Leil Sheini, which is Yushpizn of Yitzchak Avinu, Yitzchak HaKedata. It's the whole inning of Yitzchak Avinu. We don't find Nisyainis really when it comes to Yitzchak Avinu. Well, they're not described as Nisyainis. They are Avraham Avinu that described as tests, as trials. By Yitzchak Avinu, we don't see such a thing described as Nisyainis. Even though it's called Akedis Yitzchak, the Nisayin is attributed to Avraham Avinu, the test. Because the whole thing of Yitzchak Avinu is that there is such a midah of a Jew, and this is Yitzchak Tzchaik Asalei Elokim. The midah of Yitzchak Avinu is to be able to laugh at the darkness, to be able to laugh at the darkness. You remember I was making fun a few weeks ago about the blackout, and how it was made such a big deal here in New York, about how New Yorkers are so tough that they survived a few hours without lights and air conditioning. And any Jew that went through real suffering, the whole thing is a galacht. I'm not talking about God for people in hospitals or older people that needed the air conditioning. I'm talking about, as I explained then, healthy people that didn't have lights, or they had to walk in 90 degree weather, they had to walk a few blocks, gewalt. New Yorkers are so tough, they were able to overcome such an nisayon. Yitzchak Avinu laughs at what we consider to be nisayonos. Yitzchak Avinu's name means laughter because it's a gelechte, because in his eyes the Baruch Shem's presence is so clear. Yoishev b'shamayim Yitzchak, Hashem's presence is so palatable, it's so clear to him that he mamish is able to gaze into what we consider to be the darkest time of life, to be the most difficult sorrow, and he's able to mamish live. He's able to laugh at it. Because in his eyes, the biggest giluyim, the greatest revelations of Hashem's presence are davki in the midbar, under the Anani HaKavod that go with us. And therefore the Gemara says, V'loi ha'yachatz, the Mishnah and the Gemara, V'loi ha'yachatz yibishlaim shahi'ira mizeh ha'or shal simchas beis ha'shoeva. There wasn't a courtyard in Yerushalayim that wasn't illuminated, that wasn't shining with the light that was coming from the Simchas Beis HaShoev and the Beis HaMikdash. And all the Svarim tell us, how could that be? In Metzius, realistically, could it be that the courtyards with walls and gates and trees, how could it be that there wasn't a courtyard in Yerushalayim that didn't shine with the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoev from the Beis HaMikdash? How could it really be such a thing? And all the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that we see that the whole Seder of Simchas Beis HaShoeva was davke b'choshech mechushech, was davke at night. And the Chazal say, it says in the Gemara, it was at night at such a time, they mamish didn't sleep the entire night. Their eyes were open the entire night. They were awake the entire night of Simchas Beis Hashoev. And the meaning of that in Avodas Hashem is, to be awake for the entire night is the midah of Yitzchak Avinu. Schoika Soli Elokim. That when a person is living through a time in life that's called night, that's called Elokim, where Hashem Yisbarach's presence is hidden, by Yitzchak Avinu, instead of Yitzchak Avinu falling apart or even considering it in Nisayin, it's Schoika Soli Elokim. The whole world is sleeping and Yerushalayim is awake. The whole world is covered with a blanket of darkness and people are jumping off bridges and overdosing and overdrinking and overindulging in taivas that are different ways of killing oneself. And in Yerushalayim, lahaya chotzer, there wasn't a chotzer in Yerushalayim that wasn't shining with the light in the middle of the night. That wasn't shining with the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Because the union of Mashiach, when Mashiach will come, then it will be lila k'yoyim yoyir. Then the night will be lit up mamish like the day. And the Chassidim and the Anshei Maase, which I'll talk about more later on, the Chassidim and Anshei Maase were dancing, juggling torches of fire in the Sram. Talk about all of that. Because the Tzaddikim were able to feel the fire of Hashem's presence. They were able to feel the light of Hashem's Baruch. The Anani HaKavod Mamish in the darkest time of the night. That's why it says there in the Gemara that they didn't sleep at all that night. And that every Jew's heart was illuminated with the light of the Beis HaShoeva. Because what causes us to, God forbid, become depressed is not the difficulties that we go through. That's not what causes us to become depressed. The Ishbitz said once that how could it be somebody brought the news to the Ishbitz that there was a Jew who went and he was baptized, he converted to Christianity. And the Ishbitz asked, how you talking? How could that be that a Jew would do such a thing? He made a bris with Hashem Yisbarach. How could it be that a Jew would convert? And somebody asked, and the Rebbe was sitting there for a long time, and the Rebbe said, the Ishbitz said, the only explanation for that, how could it be that a Jew would convert? The only explanation is when he feels that the world is stronger than he is. But when a Jew realizes that he's stronger than the world, then nothing in the world can change him. It's only when you think the world is stronger than you that you have to drink, or you have to shoot up, God forbid, or you have to give yourself over to something else of the world. When you think that the world has defeated you, when you think the world is stronger than you, when you feel that the darkness is stronger than the light inside of you, so then a person loses to the world. And the Ishbitz said that's the only way that we could explain a Jew doing such a crazy thing, which, as we spoke about Shabbos Shuvah, is mamash suicide. It is suicide. For a Jew to convert to suicide. And that can't be understood. Only when we realize that it means that this person was defeated by the world. But the koyach that the Jewish people take from the Yontif of Sukkot, which is Mansim Haseinu, in the Beis HaMikdash, every Jew was shoyev ruach hakodesh, was drawing forth bucketfuls of divine inspiration, of aur, of light. This iris of Sukkot is his iris of simcha, because it's the simcha of a Jew who knows that no matter what curveball the world throws your way, or even a knuckleball that the world throws your way, no matter what, a Jew never ever can lose to the world. And the lulav and the esrog, as Chazal tell us, it's like holding a spear, manotzach. It's like holding klei milchama, like holding weapons, and that we come out victorious from the milchama. And that's why, regarding the Anani HaKavod of Aaron HaKohen, it says, so the Zohar says that during the day there was a cloud, a pillar, a cloud. The Zohar says, "Do Avram." Avram Avinu had nesiyonis. There were clouds in his life. Ubamud eish laila. a pillar of fire in the night, to Yitzchak. The Zohar says that's Yitzchak. A pillar of fire in the night is Sukkos. Is Simchas Beis Hashoev. That's why the Rebbe Leibel has said that it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Poskim that lechatchila it's good if one's able to detect to see some stars through the schach. Of course, every child comes home, it's the only halachia that they learn. How come I don't see stars? How come I see stars in New York? You can't. You'd be lucky if you could see the schach. Right? Think about the stars. There's so much light that comes from artificial places. You don't see stars really here, but a person when all the lights are out, you can see the stars through the schach. And Rabbi Leibel says that means that no matter how dark it is, a person is able to see. He's able to see that sparkle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in his life, and that's why it says Bamud Eish Laila Da Yitzchak. That's Yitzchak Avinu. So now we can end and we understand why is it that the Nisach HaMayim, the drawing of the water, was such a simcha. What's the shaft of mayim besosim? The water, as you know, the Gemara tells us there in Sukkah, in Aleph, Mabez, and Gimel, the whole Sugya, the Gemara there tells us that this water came from the deepest, deepest, darkest place that existed in this world. If you could turn off all the phones, I'd appreciate it. Comes mamish from the deepest place, from a place where there's bechlel, no light at all. And Davke Ushafta Mayim Besosim, the Klaisel would draw Mayim Mesukim, sweet waters, would be drawn from where? From a place that's completely, completely darkened without hope, without life. That from there, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the water was drawn and was brought up into Beis HaMikdash, the Shir HaMalos, by the Simcha of the Beis HaShoeva and the Simcha of the Nisach HaMayim. Because the whole simcha of a Jew in this world is the belief that davka through those difficult times, davka from those places that are the mamakim of his life, davka in those places Hashem Yisbarach holds on to him tighter than any other time in his life, and that the ananim never leave him. The Amud Ha'esh Laila of Yitzchak Avinu of Aaron HaKohen is with him, and therefore Ushafta Mayim B'Sosayim, we withdraw the sweet waters from the darkest, deepest, and coldest place. Ushafta Mayim B'Sosayim, believing with all of our hearts, Mimayne HaYeshua, that this is the wellspring, the source of salvation for each and every one of us. You and I have to go through in this world in order to be Jews, in order to become greater Jews. Hashem is Baruch should help us that this time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeiva and Zman Simchas Seinu should be a Pesach to that time when we'll be Zeiche Mitzvah Hashem again, once again, to live in the courtyard of Yerushalayim and to be Zeiche to not just believe in the light of the Sheva, but to see the light of the Beis HaShoeiva. And that day will be Nigla La'enei Kol Basa Ki Hashem Echad U'Shmai Echad Begula Hashlem V'Amitish Mehem Yemenu Amen. Usually Chol HaMoed, I'm out with the family the whole day. So this time I had wonderful chaverim that took taking care of the kids. And so I was sitting at home, sitting in the sukkah and thinking a lot, which is always dangerous. And it always means that you can end up sitting a lot. So I'm going to be talking now for around a half hour, 40 minutes. I have very, very much in my heart and my mind to make, I think, what would be called a major policy statement. I think that's what they call it. It's something that's been sitting in my heart for the last few weeks. The Inyan of Simcha. Good thing. That I alluded to in a brief explosion in the Chabura Friday morning a few weeks ago, the beginning of this man, what's been cooking inside of me so much the last few weeks that I feel that I need to talk about it. And I thought we would have a cozy little chavra here tonight and that I could share some of these thoughts with you on the Inyan of Simcha, since it's Zman Simcha Seinu. I want to talk about chinuch, about teaching children. And this is for all of us, not just those who have little children. All of us are big children, teaching other Jews, teaching ourselves. And really this is a tiny, tiny little nakuda of an inyan that if Hashem's Baruch would give me the strength, I would write at least 10 volumes in Lashna Kodesh, that in English would be much more. On the kilkulum in our days that we see in this inyan of simcha and chinuch. And of course, my words are only for the tachlis of healing and of helping, and those who I'm talking to understand this in you. But I want as much as possible for those who are close to me to move this inyan along somehow. And even if it means being mefarsim, which I've never in the past asked to be mefarsim any particular tape or to push anything in any way, it's not my mahalach mechlal. But regarding this inyan and the situation that we're in right now, Klal Yisrael, I feel that we have no choice. And since I don't hear many people talking about this, I don't hear tzaddikim screaming and yelling on the streets of Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak in New York or London or wherever Jews are. So I feel that it's nachrayus to begin to talk about this. The Davka, I'm not going to clutter it with Mar Mekoinus, the different Svarim and Chazals. There are a million Mar Mekoinus. Anybody that opens up a Chumash to the first Pasuk knows that every word of Chumash is what I'm saying. But I Davka want it to be simple and clear. Every single person, Alachas Kama Vakama, a Jew whose neshama comes from Gan Eden, from Tachas Kisya, called from beneath the throne of Hashem Yisroel. Every single person is born with Simcha Tivis. That means that every single Jew is born, every human being, Laham, every human being, is born in a state of natural joy. That means the most natural thing for a Jew is to be besimcha for every human being. Even if there's no siba, even if there's no reason to rejoice. Children, especially little children, before they are exposed to the difficulties of life and making decisions, and before they're subjected to the pessimism of the world that we're living in and the darkness that's in people's hearts and minds. Children, a child is a ashtik simcha. And that's why you see, and I've spoken about this many times, that children, little children especially, they don't walk anywhere. Little children always run. They run from one place to another. Little children are always running. At some point, and it's always sad when that happens. And I always keep a cheshmet to remember which child at what point stopped running. When I say running, I don't mean to get some, I mean to go to the couch. To go across the room. Every sicha, every conversation, the most delicious thing is to listen when little children are talking and they don't know that there's any adult. Once they know there's an adult, it's already not geschmack. But if they think there are no adults listening, the schmoozen of children, the conversations, the discussions that children have, it's ein shtick simcha, it's all simchadik, it's all a nig and mamish, it's all a nig. And not only that, children create around themselves an aura, a world of such ne'imus, of such pleasantness, of such simcha, of such joy. And that's why everybody enjoys being with children. Even though when it becomes noisy and things start to break and you have to discipline, that's all later on. But there's such a tonic, there's such pleasure and such joy being in the mechitza, being in the company of children. And that's why, as I've mentioned many times, even a hardened adult, even somebody who's very intense and very, very serious, loves to be with a child, loves to be near a child, to be with children. And it can bring out the smile And I mentioned this in shul on a few occasions, that I remember so clearly, that my shifi, she should be well. She's very, very friendly. When she was little, she would say to every single person, she would start talking and a whole conversation. And we were once in the parking lot of Kifut, and there was a person coming our way who looked like he escaped from the state penitentiary in Mamish. He had a pachad on his face, such a pachad. And I was walking to the car, and I was, you know how you give us a tight squeeze on the hand when like danger is approaching? So I was squeezing her hand tighter and trying to move her along, and she wanted to talk to this guy. And she stopped. "Hello, sir. Hello, mister. How are you? You know, whatever. I had a bath this morning, you know. My boat sunk," something like that, you know. And the guy, when he looked at us, so first he sees a Jew, he says, "Otsuri," you know. But then he saw a child that was talking to him with such unrestrained happiness that he was shocked, because probably no one has spoken to him like that in many, many years. He's probably been spoken to very harshly from the time that he was a child, and he hasn't heard a soft word or a happy word. And I was standing there, you know, like trying to pull her, but she just wanted to talk to this guy. And I said, "How you doing?" And she's talking, and then it looked like it was first painful, and it was cracking like his face, the surface, because it hadn't smiled in so many years. And then he gave the sweetest smile, like from one end of the world to the other, the most beautiful smile. And he gave this adorable little, like, funny little wave. Now he doesn't know how to talk to him. He gave a little wave and he said, "Yeah, how you doing? And I thought, what an unbelievable thing that was. And I refer to it very often back in my mind. Why is that? Why is it that even such a person can be brought to smiles and would love if he were given the chance to be with children? The answer is, as I said before, as the Yisayid HaYisaydis, the answer is that since it's the natural essence of every human being, it's the basic essence, the Yisayid HaNefesh of every human being, to be happy and to want happiness, and the etzem of a person is the teva happy. Therefore, he's nimshach, he's always drawn to happiness. He always wants to be with those who are happy. He loves to see people who are happy. And he loves to see children, because children are always happy. Like I told the Meister once from Briskerov, that the Briskerov was somebody came to visit the Briskerov. And some Lamdan came to visit the Briskerov, a very intense person. The Briskerov was no lightweight himself, as you know. And somebody came to visit the Briskerov, and the children, the Briskerov's children, were making a big balagan. Their children are children. They were carrying on. They were jumping around. They were making noise and running. And this Talmid Chacham got very upset. And he basically said, "What is it with these? What's with these children? What is it with them? They're like laughing and carrying on and making a tumult." So the Briskerov said that is the natural state of every human being. What the children are doing is natural for all of us. It's because of our avayas and because of the heaviness of the world, we've forgotten and we've lost our way. Briskerov says such a thing. But that's the teva of a human being. L'umazois, in very, very clear and strong contradistinction to that, nobody enjoys being in the presence, in the lechitza, in the world of a person who generates tension, anger, who's constantly nervous, who's very, very depressed, chas v'shalom. Nobody wants to be with that person, because that person's teva is stands in complete and total hisnagdus, opposition to the yisoid hanefesh of a human being, which is to be besimcha tamid, which is the most natural thing. That's our teva. And that's what Shlomo Melech said, and we're going to read Kehelis, "V'ha'elokim asa es ha'adam yosh,"
that the Baruch Hu created us in a way with that of yashrus, and therefore of straightness, and therefore the simcha of the child is complete. The simcha of the child is not tainted by all the self-doubts that we have, by the feeling that we're missing, that we're lacking, that we're no good, that we fail. A child feels that natural simcha with which Hashem created us. And he doesn't wonder about the future. He doesn't worry like half of the Olam is sitting here right now thinking, what's going to be tomorrow? I have to be here, and I have to be there, and I have to catch this train or that train. The children are not thinking about that. And they're thinking where they're going to go for Chol HaMoed. Maybe they're worried that they're not going to, they heard it's going to rain, what's going to be? Gaval, is there anything indoors? A child doesn't think back on past failures. He doesn't worry about future failures. He's ein shtik simcha, and he's clean from avayers that darken and distort the natural joy that Hashem Baruch Hu created each and every one of us with. Aleph, Beis. The superficial way of thinking, and forgive me for saying this, this is the way most people look at things. Not those who are here, but in the world at large, ubefrat, in the world of education. Superficial people think that the emes and truth, there are two types of people. There are people, and you see a person, he seems to be the simcha, he's happy, he's a happy-go-lucky person. And everybody likes being with him, it's a lot of fun. So people think that this person, the teva, his nature is to be the simcha. He has a simcha de teva. And the other person, on the other hand, that you see, the person that always seems to be frowning and upset and nervous, so that we think that, Nebuch, this person's teva, this person's nature is to be sad. Or this person's nature is to be chalila depressed, ki'ilu, as if simcha, joy, and atzva, sadness, are midas that a person is born with, that a person could be born with atzvas, that a person is born with a certain nature, that his nature is a nature that's sad. And he's therefore always inclined towards depression. He has a certain tchunis ha-nefesh, a certain teva that makes him sad. And since most people think this way, that's okay if a happy person thinks that way, but could you imagine if a sad person thinks like that? That means that most sad people in the world, I believe, think that this is my nature, this is who I am. I would love to be like that little kid laughing, or I would love to be like that adult that always seems to be happy. But what could I do? Hashem has created me in such a way that I am united to sadness and depression and tension and being nervous and so on. So therefore what happens is that this person who now labels himself and has been labeled as sad believes that only if he does the most unbelievable avoid in the world, only if he rises up to fight against his very nature, will it be possible for him to experience any of the simchas achayim that the happy people in the world are able to have. In other words, he believes he has to fight an uphill battle, and it's a constant struggle in his life, and kulay hai v'ulay, maybe after years of struggling and therapy, and maybe if he needs to drink or to take special drugs, antidepressant, anti-atzvas, and to get involved in all kinds of programs that kulay hai v'ulay, maybe he'll be able to overcome or to contend with the negative, depressed, sad nature, and that to squeeze out before he's 120, a laugh, a smile, a little simchas achayim. This is sheker v'chazav. This is a lie. This is sheker. The Torah rejects this completely. This is sheker. The emes is the same way that it's absolutely clear that eating and drinking and sleeping and so on are natural needs of the body of a person, of a human being. And it's impossible to live without the food and the water and the sleep. It's impossible. and a person cannot be mevatek, cannot say it's not for me. What can I do? It's not my chelik in this world to eat or to drink or to sleep. A person cannot say that without dying. So too, when it comes to simcha, to joy, simcha is a tzorech hanefesh. The same way that eating and drinking and sleeping is a tzorech haguf, and if you're a human being, you must eat and you must drink and you must sleep in order to live. Simcha, joy, is the natural need of the soul, of the nefesh. And the same way that if one does not receive a healthy serving, a healthy proper quota of what he needs with eating and drinking and sleeping, he pashut cannot go on. So too, a person who does not receive the emotional, spiritual quota of simcha that he needs cannot live. He can live maybe physically and go on like that person in the parking lot, but he's not alive. And he hasn't tasted of who he is, of who he really is. The M is the M. Even though there are millions of Mayer Mekaymas for this, let me read to you just a sentence from one of the Rishayim, from the Chinuch. The Chinuch writes, by the mitzvah of Sholosh Vagol, the Chinuch writes this. Listen how beautiful. I reach in every word. Lefisha ha'adam nochein al inyin shitzorach l'smoyach leprakim. A human being understands the truth that he must rejoice from time to time. At least he must experience joy. K'moshu tzorach el hamozon. You hear this? K'moshu tzorach el hamozon. What does that mean? The same way a person from time to time needs to eat. Al kol kono, no matter what, the Chinuch says. The same way that a person must have something to eat in order to live, a person must experience joy. The same way he needs to rest and to go to sleep. And he continues a little bit later. Therefore, the Rebbe Shalom, because he knows that there are going to be those who are going to make this mistake, I'm going to explain a little bit more, who think that Atzvus is maybe I have the nature to be said. So the Rebbe Shalom, the Chinuch says, the Rebbe Shalom established for us Yomim Tov, special days, special Yomim Tov, and the Chachamim added special days, Chanukah and Purim, Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Av. We have special days, Lizka Behem Anisim Vahatayvis, where we're given the assignment on those days to concentrate and to remember how good the Baruch Shalom has been to us and all the good that we have in life. Asher Gemorlanu, that Hashem has given us. Va'oz Be'itim Ahem Sivonu L'chalk El'achoyme V'dvar HaSimcha. And Hashem has commanded us during those special days to what? To satiate ourselves, to support ourselves, to lift ourselves up with simcha, with joy. B'dvar ha-simcha ha-tshricha elav, that the soul needs, the soul must have. V'yimsalonu trufa gedoyla, and this is a great medicine, a great cure. Be'yesevei ha-smachais l'shmai, that the Baruch Shalom gave us a way to use the need that we have for joy to draw closer to Him and to satiate the need for joy with what? With davening, with dancing, with simchas beis hashoeva, with a seder, with a yontiv, with tefillas, with piyutim, with singing, with zmiris. Because if the Baruch Shalom would not give us those outlets where he told us, I want you to pour all of your joy into serving me, I want you to experience joy, not only do I want you to, I created you with a need, the same way the Chinuch says that a human being needs to eat and drink, I created each and every one of you with an absolute need for joy. But the same way the Rosh Hashanah says, make a bracha when you eat, I want your joy to be used in a constructive way. He gave us Yom Tovim. That we should use the joy for what? We should use the joy for serving Him. So you see that the Chinuch is telling us clearly, an unbelievable yisoid in Teres HaNefesh, in understanding the soul.
that sounds so simple, but it's been so perverted and distorted by people who mean well. This is the yesod for every father, for every mother, for every rebbe, for every teacher. There are shaitan that fill the schools, who have all kinds of good intentions, who took all kinds of courses, who believe that the ikir in chinuch, the main thing in chinuch, is how you present the class. It's important. I'm not saying that a person can just get up there and smile and teach. 100% you have to know how to talk, and you have to be able to explain and to give a good shiur, and to put something on the blackboard, and to use a curriculum. But these shaitan, these fools, are poisoning our children and taking away from them the natural simchas achaim, which is the only means of learning. These shaitim in the form of mechanchim, who go disguised as mechanchim because they have some masters from some phony college someplace, that they granted them the permission to destroy Jewish children. This is what I was talking about in the Chabur a few weeks ago. That somebody who I love was telling me how in the teachers' room, all the teachers were saying before school started, the only way that you could possibly begin the year is by terrifying the children and scaring them and shaking them up to be afraid of the teacher, or else you'll never ever have them. You'll never get them. You'll never be able to teach them all the stuff that you copy down in your notebook in some school to continue to give over. That children never want to receive and never want to hear from a person who is angry, from a person who is depressed, from a person who himself or herself, God forbid, has no simchas achaim. Therefore, they tell the teachers coming in, they go to these institutions where they teach them that the yesod hachinuch is what? Is the curriculum and to discipline and so on, and to give over, and to give over all the yediyas of tipshus and narishkeit. Again, I'm not saying, and nobody should misinterpret what I'm saying as if, God forbid, one doesn't need to teach anything, we're just supposed to dance and have parties. That's absurd. What I am saying is that the t'nai, the condition to bring any words of Torah into the mind and the heart of a Jewish child, really it's of any human being, not just a Jew, is simcha, joy. Is simcha because every human being, as I said, is naturally attracted to, drawn to, opened up by that which is the most basic emotion that he was born with as a little kid, as a little boy, as a little girl, which is to be happy. And therefore, whoever wants to be mechanech a Jew, there's some future mechanechim here, every parent is a mechanech. Even if you're paying for it, not getting paid. Anybody who wants to be mechanech a Jew, b'roish u'b'rishayna, has to create an environment that is what? Listen, an environment in the classroom or in the house that the child feels comfortable in, that this is who I am, that is natural for the child. And since the most natural need of every human being, ubefrat, especially a child, is that everyone wants simcha, wants to come back to that joy that I had before all the confusion, before the doubts, before the skepticism, before the sins, before my mistakes. And everybody mamish loves simcha, and everybody dreams only of having simcha in this world. Therefore, only a teacher who creates an environment of joy in the classroom, open-heartedness and joy in the classroom, and only parents who create an atmosphere of joy in the house can create a mokum tivi, a natural place where the child's heart and mind will be open to receive all the good stuff that you learn in school, all the curriculums, all the Rashi's and Rambans, all the Tosfos, all the Rebbe Kivegas, everything will go in. You know why? And this, I'm just saying over all the pieces in this one. All the Sfarim HaKadosh. Why? Because the child can identify with a teacher who's happy like he is. The child feels, this person is my kind of person. The child feels
This is someone who I want to hear from. Someone who understands me. Someone who is happy like I am. Someone who enjoys a good ball game. Someone who enjoys a good niggun like I do. Someone who feels that Simchas Chaim the way that I do. But if God forbid, somebody, a child is stuck in a classroom or in a house where there's tension, where there's depression, where there's sadness, you and I know that we run away from such people. There are certain individuals, every single time I talk to them, over the past 20, 30 years, all they ever tell me about is how someone died. I'm not talking, or someone had a heart attack, or someone's going to have a heart attack, or I'm telling you, there are, I know three people in my life that every time I see them, and I'm going to admit, I love Jews of Mahat, and I love them too, but like Tevye said, you know, keep them far away from me. Every time I see that person, one of those three, I make a beeline out. I try to get to the door, I try to run away, I try to find out that I gotta get out of here, because I know this is it. To you, to you. I'm sorry. I always start off by saying, whatever, your uncle, how you doing? How's everything? Gewaldig, huh? Well, maybe for you. Not for me. Do you know my neighbor so-and-so? And I know it's coming. I said, yes. Well, he had a heart attack. But he came down with Yanamachli. And every time he shakes his head, he says, Yanamachli. He's such a talmid. That's his deepest pleasure, to talk about Yanamachli. And to talk about heart attacks and sorrows and Jews with sorrows of explosions of bombs of body parts, Hashem Yarach. Not that we're running away from reality, but there are those individuals who their whole way of living in this world is generating emes, the unpleasantness, how unpleasant it is to be in the company of someone who is depressed. How unpleasant it is to be in the company of someone who is always negative, has negative things to say, is ungeduldig, has a negative look on the face, is angry, or as was suggested in this teacher's room to this teacher, this new teacher, if you want to be successful, you better get that smile off your face. Those were the words that she was told. We heard that last year you were kissing and hugging the kids the first day. There's never been I don't believe there's ever been a teacher, I know it's hard for me to say, in that school who's ever had as much aslocha with the children as that teacher that I was talking to, who was kissing and hugging the girls on the first day. Kissing and hugging them, telling them, I love you, I mamish love you, I'm so happy to be with you. And now we have to sit down and learn, of course, also. But nobody wants to be in the presence of somebody who's depressed. You know why? Because it's not natural. We feel inside of us, even though we also get depressed. Even that person who's always talking about heart attacks, he runs away from the other guy who talks about heart attacks. He wants to talk about them. He likes also being with children. And he likes to pinch a cheek to see a kid. Because nobody wants to be in the mechitz of someone, not only someone who's not just, I'm not talking about just someone who's depressed, you have someone who's very, very intense. Very intense, very tough or intense or nervous or got a bit of cast on somebody who has a temper. Children can't be civil at all. Adults don't enjoy it. Adults avoid it, like I was saying about myself. Children can't be civil tension at all. And those teachers who feel that they have to frighten the children, and I have to show this kid who's boss, and by giving ridiculous amounts of work and ridiculous assignments that are not the chlal, the fee, but the child needs, but only to be able to show who you are, and you yourself as the teacher, you didn't even chaz the material yourself, you don't even know yourself, you never did your homework when you were a kid. It's all a bluff. It's all a big game. To do what? Not to acquire the soul of a Jewish child, but to scare a kid into learning so that he could be able to go home and show certain grades and that you did your job. You did your job, that your students averaged, you know, above 90 or something like that, or they got on their SATs some gewaldig, you know, they broke every kid broke 1200 or something in SATs, that's your hatzlacha.
at what price did you earn the Hatzlacha? At what price did you achieve the Hatzlacha? By causing the child to be upset and overvoy those parents who are in the house for the sake of education or whatever they call education, because of what they want education to be like, because they're nervous, as I spoke about it before this summer, and I'm not going to be so crazy this time, that it was one of the censored tapes, that that because they're worried about how are they going to support their kids. What's going to be? My kid's not going to be an Ishmael Sliach unless he gets his 95s. And to send kids to all kinds of courses and prep courses beyond school and more and more and more and more. It's enough that he sits in the yeshiva till 6 o'clock and he has Mishnah. Vita, more and more and more. For who? For what? And it's not even Torah I'm talking about. It's one thing if it would be Torah. Torah, even a little bit on Yitzhak, and even then one has to be very careful. No, but some little fourth grader has to have pre-med or pre-law. We're afraid that maybe Chas v'Shalom I'm going to have to support him. And then the joke is that all those guys like end up staying in Shalavim for Shana Beis or in the Gush or in Beis Yisrael or Teres Moshe or whatever it is, and they come home. I decide I'm going to learn for the next 40 years. You went to pre-law. You remember you had Mr. Katz in fourth grade, and I sent you to that special school where there was the least amount of Torah possible, just enough to feel Jewish. You remember? And I gave you I tried to give you as little Yiddishkeit as possible, and I gave you Ivy League teachers. Every one of them was depressed. Didn't you notice? Every one of them was sad. Every one of them was angry at you the day you walked into class. Didn't you see that? Didn't you see that high school physics teacher who thought that he was Albert Einstein? You didn't see that? You forgot all that, and mommy and I spent so much money on you. And now you have the nerve to come and tell us that you want to sit and learn for the next 40 years. And you want to look different from us and dress different and you don't want to watch our shows and read our books and so on and have our conversations at the Shabbos table. And wear our little shorts and t-shirts to our little clubs with us. Huh? It only speaks of the resilience of a Jewish child to overcome the darkness. It's a nace which is greater than all of the nisim of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That a child, afal pich, and it has to do with the avir of Eretz Yisrael and a lot of other good things, that a child will, despite all of that, somehow come out with the truth. Not all of them. There are plenty of karbanos. The karbanos are not here. There are plenty, plenty of karbanos. So we understand. I'm sorry I'm taking long. Another few minutes. We understand that if you create an atmosphere in the classroom or in the house that's the hapach of the child, and it's the same thing with an adult, it's the hapach. You know how many times people have asked me, I was just having a conversation with somebody yesterday. Somebody asked me a question that he was out of town. He was someplace where there's a Chabad place. And this Chabad guy came with his wife and a couple of kids. And he turned over an entire town. He made like a whole Yiddish guy. There wasn't any Yiddish guy in that town. Of course, all the Litvaks are saying, it's also the Mishachistic. Alright? And these Chabadskas turned over the whole town. Where everybody, all the Litvaks are sitting and writing articles in newspapers about how it's terrible, how there's no Yiddishkeit in the Midwest. It's terrible. Terrible. This Chabad guy comes. So somebody asked me, he said, Rabbi, I've talked to this guy in learning. He doesn't know the Chabadska is sweet as sugar, but he doesn't really know much. This guy, this particular Chabadska, I'm not saying God forbid in general, but this particular Chabadska didn't know anything. There's not anything. He's got a whole Malchus over there. He's got a Yom Kippur of 400 people. 400 people. And the angry one, the angry yeshiva, super duper yeshiva guy that never smiled in his whole life, down the road, who sits there bubbling and fuming, angry with Chabad for taking away his people. He sits there at his special shiur. His special shiur, Sunday night, he's got four people and three of them are sleeping. So how is it the Chabad's going to get for him? And he doesn't know how to learn. He doesn't say shiurim, he doesn't know how to say shiurim. He brings in this guest speaker back, he doesn't know how to learn. You know how he does it? Come on, everybody, everybody knows. A glass of brofman, a little mashke. Huh? You make a l'chaim with the shukul mezoinus, mezint a nigin. Umzit a good vort, and hamir, so a
I say a good word to a Jew. Even Machazik Yid, you come, you tell him how you love him. He doesn't ask you, this Jew, where does it say in the Ramban that you have to tell him that you love me? So you come, you tell him that you love him. You do a weekend with him. If he's in the hospital, you go to see how he's doing. God forbid if he's in the hospital. You tell him happy birthday on his birthday. Or when you have mechanchim, when you have parents who are like Aaron HaKoyin, Yishbizim, Aaron HaKoyin, who's mole simcha. When you have a Jew who's mole simcha, he doesn't have to say shiurim, he's going to have 500 people eventually. Torah is absolutely necessary. And it's only so long, and that's a separate thing, that's dangerous to go right to right. He has to bring in shiurim, he has to learn. He has to. And it won't last without Torah. But the person that's wondering, how do you do that? The teretz is, when you have a Rebbe, when you have a Jew who's constantly smiling, who's constantly happy, so you naturally feel, this is my kind of guy. I want to be with this guy. I love being with him. It doesn't make a difference if he's not such a good speaker. He just can say over Rashi, that's okay. It doesn't make a difference. But I want to be with him. Because the nature of simcha, ki v'simcha seitzeil, the nature of joy, as it says in all the svarim, is that simcha, and the Lubavitcher Ritaket spoke about that so many times, is that simcha's peretzes kol ha-gedorim of kol ha-machsoimim, it breaks down all walls that separate, that hold a person back. That's why when a person is making a chasna, even if his biggest, God forbid, his biggest enemy comes to the chasna, he does a rigid with them, he's happy. He's happy. He loves the other Jew. Even though this other Jew, the whole year he's upset with him by his chasna. Oh, he loves him. Come to Simchas Torah, eat and dance with each other. It takes away all distance. And that's the inyan of the niggun, which I've spoken about thousands of times, and I'll continue to talk about. All the Nevi'im, all the prophets, in order to experience Nevuah, in order to experience Ruach HaKodesh, it was only possible with a Niggun, which the Radak explains over there, that Shaul HaMelech had a Ruach Ra. Shaul HaMelech had something that was causing him to feel, on his level, depressed, to feel out of it, as we say. And therefore it was only V'hoi Kenagin HaMenagin David HaMelech, who's Ni'im Zmir Yisrael, that David HaMelech's Niggun was able to be Ma'ira, all the Koiches, the natural Koiches of Simcha that were in Shaul HaMelech. And a Niggun has an unbelievable ability to remove all the barriers. I was just able 2 weeks ago to get a Sefer from the Tzaddik from Lebetov, who was a grandson of the Yid HaKadosh, a great grandson of the Yid HaKadosh, Murdik and Tzaddik, who was killed in World War II. His Sfarim are very hard to get. Some of them they now are reprinting. Shmir Sadas. He has a mimer called Mimer HaNiggun. It's around 20 pages. Mimer HaNiggun. I started learning it around 3 hours ago, this Mimer HaNiggun. We have to learn it together in the shul. Mimer HaNiggun. Yeah, Avi's here, Ari, and musicians. Nochi's here. Mimer HaNiggun. What's a Niggun? And the koyach of a niggun, because a niggun touches the etzim of the person. The Lebetov says there in the beginning, especially shepherds, they used to sing niggunim. Why? They still do. You know why? He says because they're spending so much time with behemoths, with animals, that there's a fear inside of them. God forbid they're going to descend into the life of a behemoth, and that they're becoming themselves behemoths. And in order to release the etzim ha'adam, the essence of a human being, which is kulay simcha, kulay simcha, kulay ahava, kulay adam, in order to release that, a niggun touches the essence of a person, and it reaches into that place that is most natural, that's the place of simcha, even coming back to the hardened, angry people. When it comes to niggun, like Rabbi Nelson says, first the feet begin to dance, the toes tingle, the feet, and then eventually reaches the heart, and then it goes all the way up to the mind, and the person mamish becomes on fire, and all the barriers that separate between heaven and earth, all the barriers that between the man, that separate between one Jew and another, between the Jew and Hashem's Baruch, are broken down by the Negunim. What's the result of the opposite? The result of the opposite, here I'm finishing up. the result of the opposite, we see the results of the opposite these days. We see the results now. When a person speaks to any boy or girl who's chas v'shalom off the derech, chalil. I don't even like that term, off the derech, as if like we're so on the derech, just because, you know, we're afraid of getting caught. But those who are honest enough to let go, Hashem Yirachem, and live that way that's called off the derech. If you talk to any one of them, and I have many times over the years, and you get past all the stuff, past all the narishkeit and all the silliness and all the hiding and making up stuff, if you get past all of that, you always hear one thing, it's the same thing. I'm not happy. And Yiddishkeit has not made me any happier. As a matter of fact, I see Yiddishkeit in my past as being a source of unhappiness. My experience in the classroom is a source of unhappiness. And this chisaron of simcha, the natural, healthy simcha that a person must have that we learn from the chinuch, can have only two possible outcomes. One, God forbid, is yayish, to be misyayish, to give up. Giving up means to stop keeping Shabbat, stop putting on tefillin. God forbid, even to take one's life, chas v'shalom, a person can't find any joy. To stop living. The second is that the individual will try to find other ways of having simcha. Because simcha is a need of the soul, as we learned in the Tzavazirus and Piyazetsna, that his iris is the same thing, is a need of the soul. So this person who has not found joy in Yiddishkeit, not that Yiddishkeit doesn't have what to offer, Yiddishkeit is kulei simcha, but because he's gotten stuck with either parents or teachers who are totally off the derech, so this child will go and look for simcha. And you know what happens? It happens, ask any of the chevra, when you talk to them, they leave the yeshiva, and they see, well, they're looking, during the time in yeshiva, they're looking out of the yeshiva, when they're out sometimes and they see certain chaveyu and they see people are not religious and they appear to them to be so happy. Them is they're not happy either, but they look like they're so happy, they're having a good time, they go to parties every month of Shabbos, they're having parties, and even on Shabbos or Shem Yirachem, and they're going to ball games and clubs and they have girlfriends and they have boyfriends and they give fun. They look like they're happy, and when one of the chevers is having a hard time, they see the other chaverim, or what, the other guys or the other girls are mechazik and giving you know, encouragement and so on. And this boy who feels so out of it, this girl is convinced that all of these people who he sees are mamish happy. So then what's the problem? Rabbi said, do we really need to have more seminars on this subject? I mean, more seminars and special institutions, many of which are run by people who are themselves, you'll forgive me, don't show simcha in their own avodas Hashem. Do we really have to have a seminar to figure out what's the pella that a kid wants to leave yeshiva, or that a girl wants to go out of school? Is it any pella that these children are jealous? They're jealous of other people who it seems to them are happy. Whenever they look on the television, everybody seems happy. But we know they're not. Those are the most sebrachim people. They look on the cover of People magazine, everybody's smiling. They watch the television show, everybody's smiling, everybody's dancing. You go to watch, even as a kid, I told you this once, I remember I saw Mary Poppins in Pittsburgh, it was like 1964, 65 when it first came out, I saw Mary Poppins. My mother took me and my sister to visit her sister, Allah Shalom, who lived in Pittsburgh. And what a special thing it was to see Mary Poppins. I never saw a musical before that. And I remember thinking, and I kept on asking my mother, and my mother kept on telling me, shh. But I remember asking my mother, I don't understand how they just all thought of that niggin together. Like all of a sudden they were just like talking, and then everybody just, they stopped playing some music, and everybody started singing, just a spoonful of sugar. Like everybody, I started singing, I said, didn't they have to like talk about that, or work it out? But my mother said, it's a musical. So I remember thinking, I don't know what that is, but I don't know how everybody just got so musical. In a second, everybody starts singing and niggin together. It's gewaldic, no? It would be like that with Mashiach comes, but a real niggin, a niggin of Yerushalayim, not a niggin of Julie Andrews or whatever, a niggin of Yerushalayim. What is it, a Pella? Every single movie that everybody's in love. They see people in love. They see people that seem to them to be so happy. Everybody's so happy. The only one who's unhappy is my Rebbe. I come every morning, I come to class. The second I sit down, he looks like he's unhappy. I come home, my father's unhappy, my mother's unhappy. That heaven that I see in the park late at night, they're always laughing. I hear them always laughing. From my room in the yeshiva, I hear them laughing. I don't hear laughter in my room in the yeshiva. I don't see laughter with my parents. I see my parents are tense and nervous. There are always a million reasons. We're worried about you. The kids always think, gee, I feel bad. I wish my parents are worried. And I feel bad my parents are so unhappy because of me. I would like them to be happy. I don't know how to make them happy. So it's really a pella, it's really a wonder that the kids are jealous. They want to become part of those chevers that see the happiness in the movies and the happy people in the stadium and the happy people in the streets and the happy people who are drinking and the happy people who are partying and the happy people who are clubbing. Before the kid leaves yeshiva, sometimes some of the kids, before they leave, they try to make it happier in yeshiva. Then they get in big trouble. And then they usually receive the title, lights. Lights, you're a lights. You're a lights. The kid tries to be the class comedian, starts to make trouble in the class, wants to have a good time, is looking to make a little bit of a commotion. And so on, again, adding insult to injury instead of understanding why is the lights doing that, and he's really crying out, he wants simcha in his life, and being able to deal with the lights. I understand it's not always possible in the classroom, it's not so partial, but to be able to deal with the lights on this, instead what happens is that he's labeled as a lights, he's already considered to be a bad boy. The Rebbe who never shows any simcha, any lights on this, so to speak, of Kedusha. So, I'm only speaking about a minority, I don't mean God forbid this to all rabbis, I'm just using as an example, I'm not saying chas v'shol, God forbid. I don't believe this is my most rabbis, chas v'shol. Saying that there are individuals, and parents are Muslim, I think, all of them. So what happens is that eventually, if you can't have a good enough time in the yeshiva, now when we were kids in the yeshiva, we had a blast. I think that most of it has to do with the fact that at my rebellion, didn't have a clue what we were up to, because we had these old European rebellion, and I remember like we were doing stuff to each other and laughing, and the Rebbe thought, like I remember the Rebbe saying, "Oh, it's geschmack taketosis," and we like the guy's talking about his girlfriend, you know, it's geschmack, huh? And he thought we were laughing, "Oh, Rebbe, it's the best taste I've ever heard." And everybody said, "We don't know where, what taste was said, where, which page, which block, what." So we had a good time, you know, we had a good time. We got away with murder. Like, and I tell funny stories in the house, and the kids say, "How come we can never have such good time? We don't have such good time because the Nebuchadnezzar teachers were also late son." They got very serious when they got very frum. They became very, very serious. And then already it wasn't fun anymore because now we're teachers. So it's not fun. Now they know the truth. So they can't have a good time like we had. We had a good time. Oh, did we have fun? We had a good time. And we didn't have so many official things, like if you missed the class, you disappeared, whatever. Yeah, you know, you were getting in trouble. What did it mean, b'chlal, to get in trouble? There was no computer printout. A kid walks into school nowadays, he's got and he says, and even if he wants to say a little bit of a lie that I was in class, they have it like a video that he wasn't in class. And then they show him the computer thing that shows on our computer, Mr. So-and-so. These teachers also use last names usually. It shows now a computer, Mr. So-and-so, that you were absent such and such times. And even during that class, you were out for 12 minutes in the bathroom. What do you have to do for 12 minutes in the bathroom? I had to do for 12 minutes. So everybody knows that it wasn't just taking care of their needs. The other needs that a child has. So it's a schlep. Well, we got away with this stuff. Now you can't get away. Call myself a safe in the phone. Everything's on television. And not only that, we're sending these videos to college. And no college is going to accept you because they have the tapes of you being absent. So you understand. Of course I'm exaggerating, but the brokenness, the shius of leiv, the as is the sadness. And now we come to Simchas Beis HaShoev. Unbelievable. The Gemara describes Gemara describes Mishaleiro Simchas Beis Shaev and Leiro Simcha Miyom. And what happened by the Beis Shaev? So it says in the Mishnah of Lo Heisa Chatziv Yishlam Shalheisim Yir Meor Beis Shaev. As I explained the beginning tonight, there wasn't a courtyard in Yishlam that wasn't lit up with the light of the Beis Shaev or the Beis Hamikdash. And it says over there, Hachasidim Va'anshe Ma'isa Himarakim Lifneim Ba'avukas Shal Orish of Yedayim. Can you imagine? Tanoim, the leaders of the Jewish people. I guess they missed that meeting in the teacher's room. Tanoim were dancing with Avukah Shul Orb Yedayim, Rabbi Gamliel, Moridik, dancing with torches of fire, turning over somersaults, all kinds of simcha. V'oimim l'fneim divrei shirois v'tishbochais. That's the Mishnah. Then a daf nun gimel. There's a brayso that says, what was the shira? What taka was the song of the Hasidim Ne'anshei Ma'isa? These were the rabbis of Klal Yisrael in those days. These were the teachers of our people in those days. And the Gemara asks, what the brayso says, Tana Rabbanan, what was the song that they sang? That a special song. You know what the song was? Ashrei yaldu seinu shloi b'yishoz aziknu seinu. Ashrei yaldu seinu. Happy are we that our childhood years didn't embarrass, weren't the source of embarrassment for our older years. What that means is that millions of Jews came to Beis HaMikdash, and those who couldn't get in were standing on every rooftop and every hilltop where they could find a space to stand around the Beis HaMikdash. To see what? To see the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Hasidim and the Anshei Ma'isa, the Tzaddikim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Why do they want to see the tzaddikim? They want to understand, how do you become a chassid? How do you become a tzaddik? How do you become such a person? Is it with a new curriculum? Is it with a new math? Is it with what? Is it with more homework? Is it with more? Now, I heard someplace, I never heard in my life, that there's a school that they have two teachers in the classroom, two rebbeim in the classroom. Two. One teaches and he sits down. The other one gets up, he sits down. Is this what the Hasidim and the Anshei Ma'isa did in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? They came to learn, how do we become Hasidim and Anshei Ma'isa? How do our children become Hasidim and Anshei Ma'isa? And they sang a song, and in that song, these tzaddikim were juggling torches and doing somersaults, having a great time, having a blast. They revealed, you know, how you raise tzaddikim? This was the song. Listen to the first two words. Ashrei Yaldu Seinu. Ashrei Yaldu Seinu means, you want to know why we became Hasidim and Anshei Ma'isa? Because we were happy as children. Because our teachers and our parents didn't steal our happiness from us. They didn't break us with their depression, with their sadness. Ashrei Yaldu Seinu, we had happy youths, happy childhood. We had simcha growing up. Ashrei Yaldu Seinu. Of course, Rashi says, it's talking about Averis, so we didn't do Averis when we were younger, that we should be embarrassed when we're older. Rashi, of course, that's the Pshat. But we understand, Ashri Yaldusein, Shalavisha doesn't only mean embarrassment, it means, Shalavisha means that it didn't put the shame, it was consistent throughout our lives. Ashri Yaldusein, Shalavisha Ziknusein. That from the time that we came into this world, and even now as old men, we're happy Jews. We're happy to be Jews. We're the simcha. We want to juggle. We want to dance. And that's the only way that you can bring up Hasidim and Anshei Ma'isa. With Ashrei Yaldu Seinu. And our boys say it's not too late. Let's try to smile more, even if we don't always feel that way. Let's try to be mesameach more in the house and the classroom. Let's begin. There's no time, there's no better time to begin than Zman Simcha Seinu, which is the time which is Muksha for the whole year, to acquire, to be kinder. Mikvahs filled with Simcha. To acquire Simcha that'll take us through the entire year. And when our children and our students see that we're Jews, that have Simcha being Jewish, they're going to want to learn more. You'll see that we're going to want to daven more. They're going to do more mitzvahs. They're going to want to stay away from aveiros. They're going to want to be makar of other Jews. They're going to want Mitzvah to be makar of their wives, their children, wives with their husbands, to give Simcha to their husbands, and husbands to give Simcha to their wives. That's the Yushpizn of Aaron HaKohen. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should help us that we should be able to live in a way that shaft and mind is awesome, to draw the waters of joy from the depths of the earth, and to be Zayachim as Hashem, the taste of that simcha that we had when we first came into this world. And Hashem should bring us back, that we should be able to smile the way we first did, when we first smiled and all the adults were standing around here saying, "Oh, how cute, how cute, how cute." Nobody does that to us anymore, isn't that sad? Isn't it sad? You ever see Rav Palm smile? Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Baruch Shem Kol? Even as adults, we said it's so cute, and he wanted to be near him. You remember the Baba Rebbe? All day long, I'm thinking, because somebody told me he was by Baba last night. All day long, I'm thinking, I even Naftulcha should have a foolish shleim as a good tzaddik. Do you remember how many of you were zeicher to be by the old Rebbe Sukkos? Were you zeicher? No, you have people here that were zeicher to be by the old Rebbe Sukkos. Do you remember how he stood there? Do you remember his smile? Do you remember how he clapped? Do you think that Rav Shlomo HaGoyin HaKadosh, Rav Shlomo Halberstam from Babov, didn't have a million reasons without going through the number of children that he had who were killed, or Kiddush Hashem, and his wife, and so on? Do you think he didn't have a million reasons not to smile? And you know why everybody loved the Baba Rebbe, and why he was able to build an unbelievable Malchus of Torah? He came to America, he had nothing. No one. You know why? It's not because of the Torah, he said. He said beautiful Torah. It's not because of the Torah. It's because of that smile that he had spinning there, clapping, and we used to dance around, chalishing to be able to get another inch closer to him. And that's what's going to be like when Mashiach comes. So let's begin now, shaf the mind, the sauce, and my name Yeshua. Let's try to do a good week or two, and go home and smile to our wives and children, and to our students, and to all Klal Yisrael, and to be Zayichim Hashem, for Hashem is Baruch smile, for the Gula Hashem, the Amitah, from Him, Yemei Olam.